So Gretchen and I have talked about doing a conversation together since we started doing conversations last year, and I never wanted to do it, and I still don't, but here we are.
We have a conversation a lot throughout the week.
Yeah, so here's the weird thing. So we're staying in Origins today. We're going to talk about original intent, but one of the things that's crazy is generally when I'm going to be up here with somebody, I avoid them like crazy throughout the week, and so it's really easy to do when it's somebody who doesn't go here. Or who's not working on staff here, but it's a lot more difficult. And so she's thinking I'm mad at her. And I'm like, no.
I know when you're mad at me.
That's true.
So we do act like siblings, even though we're not.
But the reason I avoid the conversation is because I want to have it here. And so there's this temptation to have the conversation, and then we get up here and we're like, well, we already talked about all this. So it doesn't really work.
I know.
And so
totally.
I thought you were going to talk about how much older I am than you.
Well, You are. I mean, Ed Kinchlow can, he overheard a conversation today about how you might need to be getting new glasses. And I said, see, that proves how much older you are than me.
Yeah. So I was at Sweet Tooth Bakery this week. How many of you guys go to Sweet Tooth Bakery? If you don't go to Sweet Tooth Bakery in Choctaw, you're missing out because you can buy everything they have for $7.
Yeah, just about.
And I'm not saying everything's under $7.
And become a diabetic.
You can buy everything they have, and then they ring it up, and they're like, I'm like, how much? Like $7. I'm like, what? It's impossible. But I was there today.
Even their soup for lunch.
Their soup, it's so good.
Yeah.
Man, this isn't an endorsement, by the
way. No, it isn't. But they're behind Sonic.
But I do endorse them. So so anyway, Steve and I went there to meet with, what's the organization called?
EOC Resource Center.
EOC Resource Center. It's really cool. You guys are going to find out more about it as the year goes on. It's awesome, awesome ministry where a bunch of churches come together. How great is that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very kingdom. And so we were meeting with two ladies from that organization, and one of them, Lindsay, said, you look familiar. And I looked at her. I thought she looked familiar too. And so she said, you look familiar. Did you grow up in the area? And I said, yeah. I said, I graduated right here at Choctaw. And she goes, oh, really? That's where I know you from. And then she said, what year did you graduate? And I said, 1994. And she said, I graduated in 95. And I'm kind of looking at her like, why that's surprising. And she thought she had taught me because she was a teacher at Choctaw High School. So though I may be older.
The story gets more fun. Lindsay taught my oldest.
That's
in
right.
School.
So you're old enough to be my mom. High five.
Yes. Not really, but my oldest is adopted, and his birth certificate says I was 13 when I had him. But that's okay.
Wow.
You know, sorry. Jeremy is really the older one, but we stay the same age for 11 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway.
July 4th, August 4th, we are 30 days apart. How about that?
Yeah, it's great stuff right there. Why didn't
it
you
is.
Guys praise God? I'm just kidding. That's it's nothing. All right.
Let's talk about how we were originally designed.
Yes, original intent. Okay, so here's one of the things that we did this week is Gretchen kept asking me what we were going to talk about. And I'm like, I don't know, whatever we're going to talk about. Because the thing for me is like I wanted us to just kind of approach what we've been in, right? Origins. We've basically been going through Genesis 1 and 2. Steve, on a bet, went ahead and finished it last week and got into chapter 3.
Yeah, kind of.
I say on a bet. Yeah, so we've been really in this, right? And we're finding out a bunch of stuff. And I was thinking about this, even as the songs were being sung today, about original intent. And, you know, I thought about, like, with eyes closed, it talks about, you know, seeing things clearly when mm-hmm. you're not looking with your human eyes. I am who you say that I am. Mm-hmm. And all of this is God's created us a very specific and certain way. And since the fall, everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sent Christ. Like, there's a bunch of stuff between this, of course, the entire Old Testament. But he sent Christ to redeem us back to this place, right? To give us the closest thing to original intent, to give us a pathway to it, a gateway mm-hmm. to it, and to get back to him. And I was thinking about why he designed us the way he did. And so mm-hmm. one of the things that I dove into this morning, I was just listening to the creation story. And I was so intrigued by it because he talks about the sun and the moon were created to rule the day and the night. And it's all about ruling and dominion
right.
throughout all of creation. And it was really cool, too, because he talked about how God created these things, and then he named them. He named it Earth. He named it ocean. He named it sun and moon and stars. And how he gave, in his creation, part of that dominion is naming it, right? So then I'm processing that, and we get to the point where he's talking about Adam. And so he creates Adam. It says he created man originally as man and female, is what it says, male and female. Mm-hmm. This is before Eve was taken out of his side. And so he saw that man shouldn't be alone, right? You guys remember that's not good that man be alone. So he starts bringing all the animals to Adam. And he says, all right, well, name the animals. But he's looking for a suitable companion.
Right.
And he says, name the, you know, give them a name, whatever you name them, they shall be called. And I hearken back to this in this moment. I think back, you know, God, when he created everything, he named it. And so he's teaching Adam to have dominion. Mm-hmm. He's doing what he did.
And he models by speaking. It says, God said, and then God saw. He spoke it, and then he saw it. And so many times we want to see it before we can speak it,
right.
You know?
Right.
And then he calls it.
Right.
He calls it what it is. And not by what you see, but what you've spoke.
Right.
Isn't that
right.
Awesome? Yeah.
It's so powerful, because I think the case that I was looking at in all this, the case being made is, God, we know that he created us in his image, right? But I think sometimes we stop there. We're just like, okay, we look like him. You know, we have some of the same character traits. But he intended us, why did he create us? And it goes back to what he said when he saw man. He said, it is not good that man should be alone. Mm-hmm. He made us like him. You know what? It's not good that God should be alone.
Right.
He created us for that relationship and that fellowship. So here we are at this moment, and the problem is that God needed somebody. Like, if we weren't made like him, we would be just like the animals were to Adam.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Not a suitable helper.
They weren't suitable.
Right.
They were made out of the same dirt and everything.
Right.
But they weren't made like God.
Well, that word suitable in the Hebrew means alongside or opposite to or a counterpart, like perfectly made to fit together.
Man.
Suitable helper.
See, and that's and by the way, that's the best part. So I'm just going to talk about stuff. She knows what it all means, which is great. But I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, this is awesome, just watching these parallels on how God is almost like, okay, I figured, like, this is what I did for myself, and I need to do this for Adam. So he's giving him dominion, he's naming things, and he didn't find a suitable person. So he caused a deep sleep, and then he took on Adam, he took the rib and formed Eve, and he said, now this is woman. Mm-hmm. And so the feminine comes out of man at that point, mm-hmm. right? And now
yeah,
you have
say
this,
that again.
The feminine came out of man.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So he originally created a male and female. Boom. Now there's male and female, two separate bodies. And then he says, for this reason, man shall become one flesh. So he's calling us to this unity, this joining. But the beautiful thing to all of this is that when he sees that, Adam, and this is key, Adam didn't name Eve. Mm-hmm. Adam didn't call woman. Who did? God did. So what happened is God made man to dwell with him, to be in relationship with him, and he made woman to dwell with Adam and be in relationship with him, but they are one flesh, so that the perfect union that's there. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, that is just so powerful when we stop and think about that. And we still live a life right now, right? There's a result of the fall all around us. People die, okay? That didn't happen before the fall. We work really hard at doing things. That didn't happen before the fall, right? Like, we were living in this utopian world, and it feels like for a minute, like, I wish I knew how much time had passed. Maybe I don't, actually, because if it was, like, billions of years or something, I'd be frustrated.
Yeah, you don't have as much
patience
as I do.
I'd be like, what? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so that's kind of what I mean, I know we're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff, but man, that's like the core of what I was seeing in all this is original intent. God wants us to live that way. I even think like about with Ed and talking about my glasses and not being able to see. So I'm like, okay, this is stupid. Like, this is how I'm supposed to live life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is how I want to live life. Mm-hmm. Everything about life works well when I do this. Mm-hmm. When I do this, there's all sorts of new problems. All of a sudden,
you have indentations here.
I have, yeah, here, I've got yeah. that. I've got
like, where are they? How do you play paintball with those?
I can't. Like,
everything exactly.
I love playing paintball. Oh my goodness. Okay,
let's not. We're not going
so,
paintball.
So here's the thing. So I get tennis elbow.
Right.
From this.
Mm-hmm. Use your other arm.
I can't. I'm right-handed. I poke myself in the eye or the glass.
I could see that.
But I mean, it's you guys know what I'm saying? Like, this is how we're supposed to live.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was younger, man, I dared to believe, and something happened to me, and I've been seeking the Lord in this for years now. But I dared to believe that, you know what? I don't have to. I've been redeemed from the curse.
Right.
I don't have to live in death. I don't have to live in sickness.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I mean, you guys have seen me walk around here before. I'm like, you know, I don't need those.
I know.
I'm going like, to, my eyes are going to be fixed.
You're driving without your glasses. He goes, yeah, I've decided I'm going to let my eyes get stronger. I'm like, ooh, where's my seatbelt? Do I have extra insurance?
But you know what I'm saying? So, like, all of these things, we see the result of the fall. And we, if we just dare to believe for just a half a second that we don't have to live that way, it's still there, right? The earth is still in its state that it's in.
Yeah.
But we don't have to live that way.
Yeah.
And I think the key to figuring out where we have our freedom and where we don't have to be that way is understanding God's original intent.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand that, it's so much easier to believe because we can put it in context of our own kids.
Right.
Which I cry when I do that, so I'll let you talk.
Okay. Yeah, you're the crier. I'm not. So if you see me cry, it's like, whoa. Man, there's so many things here. I even talking about the deep sleep, man, there's so much stuff there. I think for me, I'm a very analytical person. When I look at, like, when Christ came on the earth and after, I want to know, it's like rightly dividing the word, okay? Where was the blood shed, and so where did all of this, the new covenant come in, and different things like that. But for me, going back to Genesis 1 and 2, that's how we were intended to live. And Christ came to make all of that possible. But do you know how stubborn we are as humans? Like, Jesus spent a lot of time with a few people trying to get that out of us. And then the empowerment of the Holy Spirit coming was a great hope for all of human, all mankind.
All of human.
All of human. All of human.
I agree, woman.
Yes. Exactly. Whatever movie that may have come from, I don't know. But but going back to, you know, you touched on the male and female thing and the suitable helper. That word helper is azer in the Bible. It's spelled E-Z-E-R. And it means life saver or life giver. And so Adam could not find a suitable life giver, a suitable life saver, somebody to come alongside of him as a suitable helper. You know, so many times I think it's one of the misused verse about how Eve was a helpmate, meaning she just helped Adam do whatever he didn't want to do.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
Maybe. What's up?
Hey, I love Lori.
I do too. She's great.
I know, but.
I know, she's. More than that.
Anyway, we'll go back to that. But that word azer is used 21 times in the Old Testament. And it's only used to speak of God himself as being a life giver and a life saver. The only human in the Bible that was called an azer was Eve. That she came out of Adam, out of his side, to give life. And to be a lifesaver for him and others. I mean, think about that. If you're a female in here, why are you quiet? Sorry. If you're a man in here, why are you quiet? I mean, I hear Rick. But think about this. Think about how much freedom there is in partnership and dominion and so many things the way God really designed it to be. It isn't... You know, we all have our gifts. We all have everything that he's called us to do that's differently. But man, when you bring those together as suitable helpers, as life givers, as life saver, oh my gosh, That's like awesome. I mean, men, we are here to save your life. Right? Okay. Yeah. And then the curse happened, and then laundry started. Yeah. That is like, oh. Yeah.
Right?
Sorry, that's just one of my beefs.
That's good.
So anybody that comes in my house knows what I'm talking about as they see it. And dishes, yeah. But I love, even Jeremy pointed it out, or he talked about how Adam was in a deep sleep when God opened him up and took Eve out. Okay, God created everything, and then he rested, right? On the seventh day we rest, right? That's what it says. So, the first thing he created after rest was Eve, out of man. And not only that, he did it while Adam was at rest. Look at the beautiful picture that he gave us, that everything that we do, productivity flows out of rest. I mean, Jesus came and said it over and over. Like, you do only what you hear the Father doing, and you do it in rest. You don't do it in worry and turmoil and impatience and trying to make things happen. And I think it's just a beautiful picture that he showed us there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the original design, that we were to produce things out of rest.
Yeah. You know what gets us here, too? Okay, so how many of you guys have heard, you know, the joke that we blame Eve
for eating a dang apple?
Eating the apple.
Yeah.
And it was all Eve. And proper theology will teach you that, you know, Adam may have been there, blah, 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 blah. So here's the thing.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to show you something here in Scripture that maybe you haven't seen before, but you have experienced it. If you're a man or a woman, you've experienced it daily. And it's men trying to solve a problem that doesn't even actually exist. Mm-hmm. So check this out. So Genesis chapter 2, everyone's all excited. This is real. I'm telling him, Robert, I know. We talked about it in the club, but we got to tell him. He wants us to keep
the guy club.
We keep it. No, okay, so chapter 2, verse 17. God's talking to Adam. Or I'll just back up to 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day, or in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Got it? I'm going to read it one more time, because there's a very subtle change that man likes to make to this passage. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So, then he's talking, let's fast forward. Where is it at here? Then the Lord God says, Adam,
it's
three, huh?
You should have highlighted it.
I should have, but I didn't. Okay, here it is. Yeah, Genesis 3. Right at the beginning there, we'll read 1 and 2, or 2 through, anyway, we'll read it.
Just start.
I'm just going to start until we get to the point. All right. So, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" God didn't say that, did he? Was Eve created when God gave that command? No. So who told Eve the command?
Talk about your source.
Guys, come on. Right? So what happened? So where's the lie? It's not, yeah, did the serpent deceive? He doesn't need any help. Man looks at it and says, he looks at woman and he's like, okay, look, don't even touch the tree. That's what God said. He says, because she's all like, he's like, hey, we're not supposed to eat of this. And she's like, well, that's pretty. Can I? No, don't touch it. Don't touch the tree.
Yeah.
If you touch the tree, we're going to die. Touch tree, die. Touch, die. That's it.
Yeah. And he just wanted to control her and get her to go over this part of the garden. It doesn't
Maybe.
Say that.
Maybe. Okay.
I just have
Because everything I just said absolutely happened.
Yeah.
That argument. No, but you see what I'm saying? Something real simple. It wasn't a lie per se, but it was, what'd he do? He added to a command that God gave. And man tried to improve on God's command.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we fell.
Yeah. Then the curse came.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is the thing that I see this all the time, because we are a culture of extremists. Mm-hmm. Yes. Nobody can live in the middle of moderation and understand that God has created all things for our good, but all things that are for our good will kill us in abundance. All things. Mm-hmm. Amen. If I lived only on carrots, I would eventually die. Mm-hmm. But I'd see great. Yes, sir.
You could throw those on the ground.
The new carrot diet.
Oh, geez.
Look for it on a website
near
you.
Thank you.
But you see what I'm saying, right? So when God's taking care of the children of Israel, he's giving them manna from heaven, like right. This complete perfect thing. And they're like, we want meat.
Right.
Reminded me of Lord of the Rings when the orcs were like, we want meat.
I think I slept through it.
Man flesh. Anyway.
Yeah,
so all they were griping. It's the allegory, right?
Yeah.
All we've had is maggoty bread for 3 days. Anybody know the line? Okay. I was going to do the voice and everything, but it's creepy.
Google it.
So anyway, but the point is that when God sent meat, it overflowed. Like they were gluttonous.
Right.
He didn't make them overeat. Mm-hmm. They overate. He sent enough for them to. Anyway, I thought that was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Just the reality that we keep trying to improve on what God says.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it.
Right.
Okay. Just stop. Just read what he says and go like, yeah, that's the thing right there. That's what we'll do.
And, you know, something's interesting because it talks about how God came and walked with them. You know, like when it came and said, you know, where are you guys? And they were hiding, you know, after the fall. But he walked with them. So, like, why couldn't Eve have said to God, hey, can I really not touch that tree? Like, I would have probably asked that.
Right.
But
you would have.
I would have, yeah. But
you would have said to Adam, you'd be like, did God really say that?
Exactly. Because
like,
I want to hear it from him. I don't want to hear it. Think about that. Think about how many times we want a voice from the Lord, but we want it to come through a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Think about that. Yeah. Instead of spending time just alone with him, whether it's quiet or whether you want worship music on or not, whether you're driving down the road or you're cutting a tree down, it doesn't matter. But we want to improve on things because we want the affirmation mm-hmm. and all of that stuff from people. Instead of, I mean, like you're walking around the garden with God and you're talking with him and you listen to a human instead, you mm-hmm. know?
Well,
I just think that's interesting.
And the other thing, too, is I don't know if you guys realize this, but another real amazing thing in this is when you start saying something that's untrue, you're going to start believing it.
Yeah.
So Adam's sharing that with Eve, right? He's like, well, don't even touch it. Now Adam believes it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the craziest thing. George Costanza invented it on Seinfeld, trying to beat the lie detector test.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's skip that. But
Steve would really appreciate it when
well,
he watches
Steve
live
would,
stream.
But Steve's not here, and I am.
I love Steve, too. Anyway.
But we might need to edit that out.
Nah, sorry.
Nah. Okay. So where was I going, Dad?
I don't know, but I'm going to interrupt. So you'll remember.
This is our normal conversation.
So the thing is, the lie that he begins to believe. So he's watching this, right? And he's watching Eve eat this thing. And then he's like, before she eats it, clearly she has to touch it, right? You've got to touch it to be able to eat it. And so he's like, well, she didn't die. All right, well, this is crazy. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, but it said he. Mm-hmm.
What?
Keep going.
No, I'm saying, okay, so it's in verse 6. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. So when she saw that, she took of it and ate it. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So my point is that he could watch her do this, and he's like, well, she didn't die, and... Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. But who did God talk to?
Him.
And what did God tell him to do or not do?
Don't eat the tree.
Right. Don't eat the tree.
Don't eat the tree. I mean,
or the fruit.
I mean,
I imagine. I don't know. He might have tried the tree, but no.
that wasn't even about like obedience. It's like, dude, this is gonna hurt your teeth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't eat the tree.
That's stupidity, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
I think one of the things that I really saw in I guess maybe in the completeness of Genesis 3 is sin as adultery of the heart. They wanted something more. and, you know, where you're giving your heart away to anything that isn't him. And even in this example, I think they were, you know, giving themselves away to what's right and what's wrong, like should I or should I not, instead of, and we were never created. This was the conversation around the table this morning as I was walking out the door with our 11-year-old. We were never created to know evil. We were never created.
Right.
Like, just like you talked about glasses and all of these things, earthquakes, and, you know, we were never created to know this. We were only created to know him. And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good father. So.
Man. Well, and that's the thing, right? They hid themselves. And I think this is the thing, this one I want to kind of get into is I want to see some of the results of the fall that we maybe don't recognize. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of them because we live them every day. But some of them, I think, have gone undetected. And verse 8 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord.
You in 3.
Yeah, chapter 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I mean, we can talk about that for a while. They hid themselves. Mm-hmm. Why did they hide themselves? He's gonna ask. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that?
Right. Who are you listening to again? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who told you you were naked? Mm-hmm. And he says, of course, already knowing. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Man, I had this conversation with Jacob. Seriously. I mean, just the other day, he comes in the room, he's supposed to sleep in his own bed. We've been working hard at this.
You have been.
Really hard at this. Because we're exhausted. He gets in bed. I don't even know he's in my bed until the next morning. And my muscles ache. I'm like, man, I must have slept bad. And then I get kicked like
early. This is a conversation at our house, isn't it?
And yeah. So we got this Nintendo Switch, right? So everybody know what that is? Anybody? It doesn't matter. It's a game thing. So we have it, and it's in our room, and he keeps saying my Nintendo Switch, and I keep telling him, no, it's my Nintendo Switch that I'm letting you use until you leave my house. And then I'll sell it as vintage. But so the thing is, like, he comes in, and that's been what we've been using for motivation to keep him from getting in our bed. And so it's like you can, and so what I told him is it's really awesome. Like, hey, yeah, you can sleep in our bed tonight. That's fine. You can't play at the Switch tomorrow. Your choice. It's been working pretty good. Till the other night, till Thursday night into Friday. I wake up, and it's been about a week or 2 weeks maybe, and it's like, this is great. This is really great. Of course, now I'm sticking a pillow like next to me because I'm used to him being there now, so that's weird. But anyway, So I realize he's not in there, and Lori comes in. She gets up a little earlier than me, and she's like, well, he at some point in the night, Jacob got up, and he got the switch and went back to his room.
You know this is all a result of the fall and the curse.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Why does he want to be in your bed? For security, and that was stolen.
Well, I can't explain as his dad why I don't want him in the bed then, I guess.
I can. Oh, no, I do.
So the thing is, she goes to wake him up, and he's just passed out. I think his light was probably even on, and he's got the switch, and this is the next morning, and I'm like, this is going to be terrible. And so the first thing is like, where's the switch, Jacob? You know, I know where it's at. And that's the thing that I see there with the Lord. He's like, well, who told you you were naked? Mm-hmm. Like, did you eat of the tree? And
relational.
It's like, and it gives him an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. How far are you going to take this sucker?
Right.
And Jacob took it pretty far.
It's a result of the fall.
He's like, I woke
curse.
Up and the switch was there, Dad. I had no idea. He didn't say that, but it's just because he didn't. If I'd give him a chance, he probably would. But the thing is, the woman. So Adam blames her, right? And we've talked about this here recently, anyway. I know that some of you guys we've been in these conversations, but. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from that tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, well, I mean, the woman you gave me, God, she gave me the tree and I ate. I mean, come on. How are you holding me responsible for this? You made her. You named her. She gave it to me. I'm like, well, hey, all right, that's fine. And then God's like, looks at the woman. And he says, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. She's like, I didn't do it. It's the snake. And so the Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed. And so on and so forth. All right, talk about all that. That's good stuff. Go.
Talk about all of that.
You're up.
The blame game or just in general?
Anything you want to talk about, Gretch.
What do you guys want to talk about? The blame? We've talked about that a lot. Steve's talked about it multiple series, just about the blame game. But think about it. We want to blame others, and that's what happened here. But how many times do we get stuck in the trap of blaming ourselves? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do we repent for something, but we don't forgive ourselves? And we just hold on to those lies, that blame of, if I hadn't done this blank. Well, yeah, that might be a fact, but that isn't truth. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a picture of the, like, we always go to, you know, the blaming others. But I think that's a trap we get into a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the serpent goes on in 14 to say, or the Lord says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seeds and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. I mean, this lays it out that there's going to be war and strife between women and all of their seed to come. Like, that's generations. Like, that is a result of the curse. So Jeremy and I were in this discussion. You know, we try not to have discussions, but we talk.
I try not to. She's like, hey, she tries to be all secretive about it.
No,
too.
I'm like,
hey, can you come in here? I want you to look at something real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think about this? Is this a conversation?
Because I don't want to wait until Sunday. I want to have the conversation now. But think about the, you know, I was just asking Jeremy this. This is just my mind going places. Like, women, it says right here, I will put warfare, I will put strife between Satan and women. How many of us struggle in our emotions? Now, I'm not saying men don't, but our hormones, so many of those things. Like, this is a result of the curse. So who is to blame? Not your spouse for making your day miserable, or not your kids for being annoying on the day that you're not handling things well. But think about it. Like, it's a result of the curse. I just think that's fascinating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the whole thing.
I mean, you're a man. What's your thought on that?
I agree. He doesn't say, like,
doesn't say, oh, and you know what?
He doesn't say men. He says woman.
Yeah. How many times do we use the gender neutral term of man, mankind, or guys? Like, hey, guys, you know, like, we got a message today that said, hey, guys, praying for you.
Yeah.
Well, am I a guy?
Yeah. Okay. In that context, yeah.
In that context, right. But this was very, and when you look at the original language, you can decipher whether these words are gender neutral or whether they're specific to male. But right here,
it's specific to woman.
Yeah.
God doesn't say, hey, guys, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
He says
or
woman.
Hey, man,
he says to the
gender.
Woman. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And then going on, and generations to come, like, warfare entered the world at this time between Satan and us.
Mm-hmm.
Before, we were totally secure and safe, knowing only good and not evil.
Right.
With our God. Yeah.
So he goes in 16, he says this to a woman, talk to the serpent. To a woman, he says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, we've been in this series now for, what, 4 or 5 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And what is one central theme that we have read and heard that's contrary to what I just read?
Dominion. It's Genesis 1:26.
Yeah. That they... we were designed to rule together, men and women, right? Right? I don't know that I believe that you believe that.
I know. Let's read it. I mean, I think it's good. Genesis 1:26. says, God said, let us make man, and that's gender neutral, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and then it goes on.
Right. And yeah. at that point, Eve was still in, he was man right. and woman. So the separation was still, they were ruling together, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens here? Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. As a result of the fall, mm-hmm. males.
How about we use that?
Will rule over
females.
Question for you: is that God's original intent?
No.
Is there any wonder why women have a difficult time with it? Maybe.
We're designed to rule together.
Right.
Yeah. I love this statement. I'm going to say this before you go into that scripture. It's hanging up in my office. It's my Facebook cover. It's a male and a female lion, a lion and a lioness. And it's by Lisa Brevere, and it says, God has made it about men and women with one heart standing together. This is a vision of promise. The enemy is afraid that the men and the women will stand side by side, face to face, that they will remember all that they are, and they are intimate allies and not enemies.
Right.
And that's original intent. Mm-hmm. That's the way that God designed us
right.
as male and as female, to partner together, to work together for kingdom manifestation,
absolutely.
Man.
And here's
Ooh.
The thing.
Okay,
are there things in the fall that we still deal with every day?
Yes.
We've talked
yes.
about it, right? This is a thing in the fall we still deal with every day. But our goal here is to do what God's original intent was for our lives, to be who he created us to be. He made a pathway mm-hmm. through Christ for that to be the case.
Yeah.
So we effort in all things, as we see these things, we effort to live accordingly. So that
right.
as much as I pray, as I said before, and I stopped wearing my glasses as I said it, as much as I pray that God would help me to live as I was designed, that my body would line up perfectly with Scripture, that it would line up perfectly with his original intent, we need to also pray in and of ourselves and for this body and for this region and for the kingdom at large, that men and women would stop being at enmity with one another.
Right.
The enemy is the only one we're in enmity with.
Right.
And when men try to rule over women, while it fits, as we're like proclaiming, hey, let's live according to the fall.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to do.
Right.
Now, I'm your boss. I said it to Lori all weekend jokingly. I'm like, hey, I'm your Lord. Now listen up.
And I have to remind him that Lord is absolute ownership rights, and you do not own Lori.
That's true. Amen.
And he knows that. It's totally joking,
and she
guys.
Knows, too. But she also will beat me up. Like, it's a real thing. So
you know where the paintball guns are.
Oh, my gosh. I want to tell the story when
no.
we first got married.
No.
It's so good.
I know it is.
All right. You guys come find me. It's a good story.
I used to clean your house when you guys got married.
That's true.
Yeah.
So my point in all that, obviously, guys, I mean, I already made it, but we've got to find ourselves in a place where we want to have complete redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Not partial redemption, complete right. redemption. And we can't pick and choose.
Right.
It's real easy for us mm-hmm. to go, I like that. Don't care much for that. This isn't a buffet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what God has prescribed for us to live in utopia.
Yeah.
Here's a thought that might mess you up. Utopia is men and women having dominion together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, some of you.
It is. Well, and starting in verse 15, well, 16, it's, well, 15, it starts laying out total gender separation here because of the curse of the law in dominion and in ruling. If you look up that word dominion and how it's used there, I think Pastor Steve said it last week, one of his favorite translations says, they rule instead of they have dominion. And that's what it is. Everything that God gave mankind dominion over, it was to be done together. And Jesus restored that. Galatians 3, I think, 26 maybe says, you know, there's no Jew nor Greek, no male, no female. Like, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we see things in the scripture after, you know, Jesus has ascended? I started with this earlier. I said it in my statement. I don't know if you guys caught it, but Jesus sewed into 12 people, and he had a lot of stuff to overcome. Like, because of the curse and because of the fall, we were born into Adam. So we are born ingrained with all of the stuff that you see after the fall happened, after this curse. Like, I am terrified of snakes.
I am
that,
too.
That shouldn't be the original intent if he's really a serpent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're supposed to be a little bit funny. But think about it. You know? But we have a lot of things that we are born into, born in Adam. But when we accept Christ and his Holy Spirit comes into us, all of that is gone. But we retrain our soul and we find, what does the new covenant have for us? And that's in being a, like, you guys, you need to see yourself as being a suitable helper to God the Father.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. He chose us as suitable helpers to God the Father, that he chose us to walk in dominion together, that he chose us and modeled for us how to have productivity out of rest.
Amen.
I mean, think about those things.
Yeah.
Like, freedom.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so last thing that we probably have time to kind of touch on here, and maybe it is just to touch on because I don't know, we haven't talked about this, so I don't know what your thoughts are. But, you know, going back to where Adam named the animals, one of the things I thought about, and Steve's been talking about this a lot in this series about leadership and the role that of dominion over the earth, not man over man, but one of the things that I love to see in that is that God, when he created man, he created him like him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he gave him authority, and he empowered him to be like him. So he said, "Hey, you're like me. Go and do." But the thing that happened is he had to give Adam opportunity to do it, right? So God could have named all the animals, right? He named the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, the sea. He named everything to that point. But when he created Adam, he's like, all right, Adam needs to learn how to have dominion. So instead of God saying, hey, Adam, I've done everything. Earth is done. That's a tiger. That's a bear. That's a puffer fish. Whatever else. He didn't go through all of that. He said, hey, Adam, come over here. And he took Adam alongside and he's like, hey, let's find you a helpmate. Let's start here. Let's name all these animals. And then Adam named them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like duck-billed platypus was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got a major creative brain.
He does.
And
so
a huge vocabulary.
So he names all of these animals.
Yeah.
And so God, what did God do there, man? He gave him an opportunity. When he empowered him, he gave him the opportunity to exercise that which he gave him authority and empowered him to do.
I want to not correct you, but correct you. You said, when he empowered him, he gave him an opportunity.
Well, that was the empowerment.
When he, right. When he equipped him,
he
gave him the opportunity, which becomes the empowerment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so in that same model, so as when we become leaders, one of the things that we have to do, and we do this with our kids, right? How many dads have ever changed the oil with their son? Raise your hand if you've ever done this. More of you should raise your hands. So get your sons together and let's change the oil.
Yeah, I've
you
got
can start
three.
With my car. And
I got three vehicles and three sons.
But the thing is, there's a big part of this. Men have a tendency because of the fall, right? So
yeah.
I want to read this. Because you heeded the voice of your wife and you've eaten in the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. So it's all about working.
Mm-hmm.
And so men go out and they work. And instead, so it kind of goes against us. When our kids come out, Noah is one that usually helped me change my oil. And so, I mean, it's my nature to want to get in there and do it. It's our nature to want to go do the stuff.
Right, to work.
But I have to stop and say, well, I need him to know how. I mean, when he went off to BMT, I thought to myself, he's going to end up...
What's BMT?
Basic military training.
So,
I'm a military dad now. I got to talk in acronyms.
Yeah.
So
I'm a not.
So we're going...
I'm a military ant.
So I'm thinking to myself, man, he's going to be out in California for like 11 months, and what if he goes to buy a car? He's never bought a car, and I want to be with him and his dad. So I went and acted like I was going to buy a car. We took the zombie killer up to the thing. I said, I might trade it in. Let's, and I talked through the whole process with Noah. And I showed him, this is how you buy a car. Mm-hmm. I didn't sell my car. I love my FJ. But the thing is, we want to do that. So when we change the oil, it's like I can get under there and I can start torquing down on something. Or I can say, hey, okay, take that wrench, put it up there. And I give him instruction and I empower him. So now Noah knows how to change the oil in a car. But if I didn't let him do it, right, he wouldn't know how to do it. If you don't let those who God puts in your path, if you don't let them do, they'll never know how to do. Mm-hmm. It'll all be theory. Mm-hmm. And they'll go, oh, I can, you know, like Gabe leading worship today. I could, if you guys don't think I want to lead worship all the time, you're nuts. I love leading worship. It's been in my heart since I was a little tyke. But if I do it all the time, then Gavin, Stephen, Kayla, Gabe, the list goes on. At least nobody would get to. How would they be empowered to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the concept that we've got to take in and realize that why don't we do it? Mm-hmm. It's a result of the fall.
Right. It's control. You want to control. You want to do it all. You want to have it your way.
All right, band, you guys come up. Gretchen, you take us out.
Oh, take us out. Well,
you're buying.
What am I buying?
You guys got it. All right. Don't tell her.
Help me after this, Rick. You know, one of the things he was leading me to, just as Jeremy was talking, is the story of the little girl in Mark 5. And, you know, I think for us, when we... Some of these revelations started coming to me in October of 2017. And I started... about origins, about original intent. I had pages of different things and started conversing with some of the staff and things. And like, how did we miss it? How did I miss it? I've been in church my whole life. I've lived for Jesus my whole life, minus a couple of years. And how did I miss this? And the story in Mark 5, where a girl's restored to life, I love where he just talks about, let her arise and awake, like she's no longer sleeping. And I think for some of us, we take scripture the way we've heard it by a man and not by God. And we don't take it to him and let him divide it for us. Let him reveal the truth that he has for me in it. Because the things that he has for me are going to be different than the things that he has for Jeremy. They're not different as in opposing, but like he wants to speak different things to Jeremy's heart than he does mine. Because I'm in a different place and a different life situation than Jeremy. And I think for me, what I love about this is as we dig into the word, as we dig into original intent with his spirit, like Jesus provided the way and what he wants to speak to us. And if we're asleep in something, we have to be willing to be woken up by a new revelation, by something new. And that's just what I want to pray for us today. Are you good with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Just Father, as you continue to line out truths about original design and original intent, you've done it for several weeks now, and you're going to continue to do it next week and beyond, and hopefully for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Father, we just say yes to awakening our soul to what our spirit knows is truth. We say yes to whatever it is that you want to reveal to us that we've never seen before. We choose to wake up to your original intent and design for us. And Father, just as we go throughout this week and we've been equipped, Father, we say yes to more equipping, and we definitely say yes to empowerment, just opportunities to be able to walk out these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. You guys can stand if you want. You can stay seated if you want. God is good, amen? All the time. If you guys need prayer today, first of all, I just want to encourage you, don't let this be our thing today that we're like, yes, amen, and we pray, and now we're good. Let this resound in your heart. Think about it throughout the course of this week, hopefully moving forward, period, and continue to be in prayer for the body of Christ in these things, that we would return to God's original design and intent for us and not settle on the fall. Amen? Amen? All right. So if anyone needs prayer, we got some folks down front that can be here, can pray with you.